Let's humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace once again. Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day, asking, Father, for a blessing, that you would watch over your servants, cause us to do that which is right in your sight, and forgive us for our sin. Father, we know that it's only through the blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, that we have an opportunity, a life everlasting. We ask, Father, that his blood would cleanse our lives and our sin and keep it far from us. Help us to be righteous servants as we seek to do that which is right in your sight, Father. Again, we thank you for all you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength. Bless us, Father, this day with your word, that it would have free course in us and that you would cause us to rejoice before you, Father. Even though things sometimes seem bleak, we know, Father, that we have a victory through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And in his holy name we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. We're going to start out in Romans chapter 5 today for our opening scripture. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with Yahweh through our Master Yahshua the Messiah, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of Yahweh. And not only so, but we rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation works endurance, and endurance approval, and approval hope. And hope does not put to shame, because the love of Yahweh has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. For while yet we were weak, in due season the Messiah died for the lawless. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, for possibly for the good man someone would even dare to die. But Yahweh commends his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, the Messiah died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of Elohim through him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to Yahweh through the death of his Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also rejoice in Yahweh through our sovereign, Yahshua the Messiah, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. Therefore, as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death passed to all men, for that all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned over Adam until Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression. Who is a figure of him that was to come. But now, not as the trespass, so also is the free gift. For if by the trespass of the one the many died, much more did the grace of Yahweh and the gift by the grace of the one man, Yahshua the Messiah, abound to many. And not as through one that sins, so is the gift. For the judgment came of one to condemnation, but the free gift came of many trespasses to justification. For if by the trespass of the one death reigned through the one, much more shall they that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, even Yahshua the Messiah. So then, as through one trespass, the judgment came to all men, to condemnation, Even so, through one act of righteousness, the free gift came to all men to justification of life. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one shall the many be made righteous. And the law came in besides, that the trespass might abound, but where sin increased, grace increased more greatly, that as sin reigned in death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness to eternal life through Yahshua the Messiah, our Master. So we see that sin came through the first Adam, the first man. But righteousness has come through the obedience of Yahshua the Messiah. This message is entitled, The Seed of the Woman. Turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We'll start in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, Has Elohim said, You shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, Of the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, Elohim has said, You shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For Elohim knows that in the day that you eat of it, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as Elohim. In other words, you're going to be like Yahweh when you eat of that tree that he told you not to touch. Not to eat. So he lied to her. But part of it was true. See? Because her eyes would be open. And she was going to learn some things that she didn't know. But this is what he said in verse 5 again. For Elohim knows that in the day that you eat of it, then your eyes shall be open and you shall be as Elohim, knowing good and evil. See? So he didn't lie about that part. And this is the thing about a lie. How does it benefit? You understand there's no benefit in this lie for Eve, Adam, or anyone that partakes of it. Because they violated what Yahweh commanded them to do. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and too often this is what happens to us, brethren. We see something. And it delights our eyes. It excites the sight, the vision, okay? Which in turn causes something within us. The heart starts to beat faster, okay? It's just like a man looking on a woman to lust after her. She may be a very beautiful woman. And instead of appreciating her, you're lusting after her. And see, this is what we're not supposed to do. Just like in this instance with Eve. Now, Yahweh has told us, and Yahshua has even enforced that, to say that the sin would be, even if we looked upon the woman and lust after her. We don't have to do what David did, go and have a relationship with her. We can look on her and sin. But see, we want to get to a point where we don't even do that. Because we are righteous within, Yahweh has given us His Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is teaching us and guiding us in such a way that we can overcome these sins, even at that extent. Okay? The woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. See, she wanted this wisdom that Yahweh had withheld from her. See? Because Satan had prompted her and told her, you know, this is the reason he don't want you to have that fruit, because then you'll have some knowledge that you don't have. But she desired to have that knowledge, even though it was a knowledge that Yahweh didn't want her to have. He didn't want any of us to have it. We don't want our children to have it. You understand? As a good parent, you don't want your kids to know evil. You don't want them to know the dark side. You want them to only have the good. And this is what we want as parents for our children. And that's what Yahweh wanted for Adam and Eve and the rest of mankind. He didn't want us to have that knowledge. See? But Satan wanted you to have it. See, because then he could manipulate you as he manipulated Eve. She took of the fruit of it and did eat. She gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves. They were naked before. They didn't hide themselves. You understand? See, so they didn't have that knowledge, and it was okay. It was all right. They were members of a nudist colony without even knowing about it. You understand? Okay, but what happened here is once they gained that knowledge of evil, then their thought pattern changed. See? They, instead of staying with that relationship that they had with Yahweh, they had to go hide themselves. They hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh, Elohim, among the trees of the garden. I'm telling you today, brethren, that we want to be in the presence of Yahweh. We want and desire to do everything possible within our power to be in the presence of Yahweh, not to hide from Him. Verse 9, and Yahweh Elohim called unto the man and said unto him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. They weren't afraid of Yahweh prior. So why be afraid of him now? Because they had knowledge that they didn't need to have. He says, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman, he threw her under the bus immediately. The woman, that woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Okay? But he blamed her. He put it on her. And Yahweh said unto the woman, what is it you have done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. He tricked me. See? She threw the serpent under the bus where he belonged, but still, she threw him under the bus. And the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And Yahweh said unto the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon your belly shall you go. In other words, the serpent was upright. He wasn't on his belly until the curse. And dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity. That word enmity, I had pulled it up in the Hebrew. It means hatred. It means hostility. Okay? I will put this hostility between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So I've entitled this message, The Seed of the Woman. Turn over to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, we'll start at verse 1. It says, And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child. She cries out, travailing in birth, and in pain to be delivered. And there was seen another sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his head 7 diadems, 7 crowns. And his tail draws the third part of the stars of heaven, the angels, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stands before the woman that is about to be delivered. And when she is delivered, that he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught away to Elohim and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of Elohim, that there may be nourished her 1,260 days, 3.5 years. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels. Michael means who is like Elohim. And his angels going forth to war with the dragon. And the dragon warred with his angels, and they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, Now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our Elohim and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuses them before our Elohim day and night, just like he did Job. He accused Job before Yah. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they love not their life even to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe for the earth and for the sea, because the devil has gone down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman. And brought forth the man-child. And there was given to the woman the 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out his mouth after the woman, water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon became exceedingly angry with the woman and went away to make war with the remnant of her seed that keep the commandments of Yahweh and hold the testimony of Yahshua. Now, when we come into contact with those who are in the religious world, and they're not keeping the testimony of Yahshua the Messiah, or the commandments of Yahweh. They can't say that they are Yahweh's people because they're not holding to this. But the remnant of her seed, because we're talking about the seed of the woman today. Okay, it's important that we understand that there is a special seed. Turn over to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. We're going to start in verse 1. Psalm 89, verse 1. We'll read down to verse 8. I will sing of the loving kindness of Yahweh forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness will you establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant, your seed will I establish forever. And build up your throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise your wonders, O Yahweh, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to Yahweh? Who among the sons of the mighty is like Yahweh? An El very terrible in the council of the holy ones, and to be feared above all them that are all around him. O Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, who is mighty? Who is a mighty one like you, O Yah? And your faithfulness is all around you. Who is a mighty one like Yahweh? His son. His son. He's the only one that is like Yahweh. Psalm 89, drop down to verse 19. Then you spoke in a vision to your saints and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. My arm also shall strengthen him. And we know the arm of Yahweh is Yahshua the Messiah. He came from the seed of David. He is the one whose throne will be established forever. Verse 22, the enemy shall not exact from him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his adversaries before him and strike them that hate him, but my faithfulness and my loving kindness shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. He had the same name as his father. Yahweh is salvation. Verse 25, I will set his hand also on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my father, my El and the rock of my salvation. I will also make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My loving kindness will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as in the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my ordinances, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in the sky. Selah. But you have cast off and rejected. You have been angry with your anointed. You have abhorred the covenant of your servant. You have profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Psalm 110. Verse 1. This is a psalm of David. Yahweh says to my sovereign, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Yahweh will send forth the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people offer themselves willingly in the day of your power in holy array. Out of the womb of the morning you have the dew of your youth. Yahweh has sworn and will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Yahweh at your right hand will strike through the kings in the day of his wrath. He will judge among the nations. He will fill the places with dead bodies. He will strike through the head in many countries. He will drink of the brook and the way. Therefore will he lift up the head. Psalm 2. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the nations rage? And the peoples meditate a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens will laugh. Yahweh will have them in derision. Then will he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his severe displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill, Zion. I will tell of the decree. Yahweh said to me, you are my son. This day have I begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath will soon be kindled. Blessed are all they that take refuge in him. And that's what we're trying to do today, brethren. Take refuge in the seed of the woman. There's a difference between Yahshua and man. And it's based on the seed of the woman. Every man is produced other than Adam. The first man was created. Okay? But every other man other than Yahshua was produced from the seed of man. Yahshua is the only one that came from the seed of a woman, the Holy Spirit. He was not from the seed of man. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11, we'll start in verse 1. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch of his roots shall bear fruit. And we know that the shoot out of the stock of Jesse is David, and the branch out of his roots that bears fruit is Yahshua the Messiah, the branch. and the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. And his delight shall be in the fear of Yahweh, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, which is what people do. They judge based on what they see. And what did we see back in Genesis chapter 3? Where Eve saw that the tree was a delight to the eyes. It says here that neither decide after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. And the rod of his mouth is his words, the commandments. See? And with the breath of his lips shall he kill the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and he and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play in the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. See, the knowledge of Yahweh is not detrimental. It's not going to destroy Yahweh's people. It's going to build them up. It's going to provide something positive for them. But we see here that the nature of the animals have been changed. Because if you put a wolf with a lamb, that wolf will consume that lamb. But this is what's going to happen in the kingdom. See? It says in verse 10, and it shall come to pass in that day that the root of Jesse, that stands for a sign and ensign of the people, to him shall the nations seek, and his resting place shall be glorious. Psalm 105, verse 1. It says, O give thanks to Yahweh, call upon his name. And this is where we come in, brethren. We have to teach this name to the nations, that they know who to call upon. Make known among the people his doing. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Talk of all his marvelous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek Yahweh. Seek you Yahweh and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O you seed of Abraham, his servants, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. O you seed of Abraham, his servants. Yahshua dealt with the leaders of Israel who said that they were of the seed of Abraham. And he told them, if you were Abraham's seed, you would listen to me. You would do the commandments. You would follow my words. You children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is Yahweh our Elohim. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. His covenant, which he made with Abraham. Now, if a generation is 40 years, and he says, this is going to 1,000 generations. Trust me, this is still happening. We're still within that time frame. The covenant which he made to Abraham and his oath, and confirmed the same to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant. I believe it's still going to continue even beyond that 1,000 generations. That we're going to have to be faithful to Almighty Yahweh. Because of the seed of the woman, Yahshua the Messiah, he gave us an example of how we should live our lives and what we should do. See, there's many people out here using the name of Yahweh right now. There are many people, there are many groups out here that believe they have the truth. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 15. It says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree brings forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." And this is Gehenna. "Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that says to me, 'Master, Master,' or 'Yahshua, Yahshua,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven." See, there's more to it than just using the name. You got to do the will of Yahweh as well. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Master, Master, did we not prophesy by your name, and by your name cast out demons, and by your name do many mighty works?' And then I will profess to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work lawlessness.'" Almighty Yahweh has sent many spirits in the world. He has sent even a lying spirit to some of the prophets that lied to the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. You have to know what prophet to listen to, because you can prove all things and hold fast to that which is good by trying the spirit. In 1 John chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. 1 John 3, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of Elohim, and we are. For this cause the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the children of Elohim, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if we shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And everyone that has this hope set on him purifies himself even as he is pure. Everyone that commits sin also transgresses the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. That you know that he was manifested to take away sins, and in him is no sin. Whoever remains in him does not sin. Whoever sins has not seen him, neither knows him. Little children, let no man lead you astray. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that does sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. To this end was the Son of Yahweh manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." You see, this is what the seed of the woman does. He has been revealed to us to destroy the works of the devil. "Whoever is begotten of Yahweh does not practice sin, because his seed remains in him," that Holy Spirit. and he may not practice sin because he is begotten of Yahweh. In this the children of Yahweh are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whoever does not righteousness is not of Yahweh, neither he that does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain was of the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He that loves not lives in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life living in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and shuts up his compassion from him, how does the love of Yahweh live in him? And there's nobody that can say, well, you know what? I got my money tied up. You know, I see you have a need, but I can't help you right now because I've got my money tied up. It's invested. If I take some of the money out, I'm penalized. I lose. Yet the need is there. The brother has come to you. And see, this is what the Pharisees were doing with Corban Oath. You know, they were telling, you know, the money's tied up. I can't take care of my parents right now because I've dedicated it to Yahweh. Think about this. You have a need. You come to me and I'm telling you I can't help you because my money's tied up. You know, I can't get to it right now without a penalty. I can get to it, but, you know, I'm going to lose if I do it. What Yahweh is saying here is that you need to help that person. It's within your ability to do it. You help that person. See, that's showing the love of Almighty Yahweh. Because it says, whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and shuts up his compassion from him. That word compassion is love, brethren. We can't be like that. We can't do this. It says, right there, in verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Dropping back down to 17, the second part. How does the love of Yahweh live in him, the man that shuts up his compassion? It doesn't. My little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and truth. By this shall we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him, because if our heart condemns us, Elohim is greater than our heart, and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness toward Elohim, and whatever we speak, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of the Son of his Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and love one another, even as he gave us commandment. And he that keeps his commandments lives in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he lives in us, by the Spirit which he gave us. Chapter 3, verse 15. Galatians 3, verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet when it has been confirmed, no one makes it void or adds to it. Now to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. He says not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is the Messiah. Now this I say, a covenant confirmed beforehand by Yahweh, the law which came 430 years after, does not disannul, so as to make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no more of promise. But Yahweh has granted it to Abraham by promise. What then is the law? It was added because of the sin, the transgression, until the seed should come to whom the promise has been made. And it was ordained through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Yahweh is one. Is the law then against the promises of Elohim? By no means. For if there had been a law given which could make alive, truly righteousness would have been of the law. But the scriptures shut up all things under sin, that the promise by faith in Yahshua, the Messiah, might be given to them that believe. And that's the key there, that believe, because all people don't believe. They may say they do, but all don't believe. But before faith came, we were kept inward under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed, so that the law has become our tutor to the Messiah that would take us to Yahshua, that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the bondage of the law or a tutor, for you are all sons of Elohim through faith in the Messiah, Yahshua. For as many of you as were baptized into the Messiah, put on the Messiah, there can be neither Jew nor Greek. There can be neither bond nor free. There can be no male and female, for you are all one in the Messiah, Yahshua. And if you are the Messiah's, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. The seed of the woman, Yahshua the Messiah, came for a specific purpose. His purpose was to deliver us from Satan the devil and deliver us from the evil of this world. I'm going to read a passage to close from More Than a Carpenter. And this is about Yahshua the Messiah. It's called An Address in History. With even greater detail, Yahweh wrote address in the history about his son, the Messiah, the Savior of mankind. From anyone who has ever lived in history, past, present, and future, the specifics of this address can be found in the Old Testament, a document written over a period of 1,000 years which contained over 300 references to his coming. Using the science of probability, we find that the chances of just 48 of these prophecies being fulfilled in one person to be only 1 in 10 to the 157th power. Okay? That's a figure that's phenomenal. The task of matching up Yahweh's address with one man is further complicated by the fact that all the prophecies of the Messiah were made at least 400 years before he was to appear. Some might disagree and say that these prophecies were written down after the time the Messiah and fabricated the coincidence's life. This might sound feasible until you realize that the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament was translated around 150 to 200 before the Common Era. Okay? This Greek translation shows that there was at least a 200-year gap between the prophecies being recorded and their fulfillment in the Messiah. Certainly Yahweh was writing an address in history that only the Messiah could fulfill. There have been approximately 40 major claims by men to be the Jewish Messiah. But only one, Yahshua the Messiah, appealed to fulfill prophecy, to substantiate his claims, and only his credentials back up those claims. To begin, we need to go back to Genesis 3:15. Okay? Here we have the first messianic prophecy in all of Scripture. Only one man was born of the seed of a woman. All others were born of the seed of man, other than Adam. Here is one who will come into the world to do the works of Satan, bruise his head. In Genesis 9 and 10, Yahweh narrows down the address down further. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Today, all nations of this world can be traced back to these three men. But in this statement, Yahweh effectively eliminated two-thirds of them from the line of Messiahship. The Messiah will come through the lineage of Shem. Then, continuing on down to the year 2000 before the Common Era, we find Yahweh calling a man named Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees. With Abram, Yahweh became still more specific, stating that the Messiah would be one of his descendants. All of the families of the earth will be blessed through Abraham. When Abraham had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael, many of Abraham's descendants were eliminated when Yahweh selected his second son, Yitzchak, or Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Yaakov and Esau, Jacob and Esau. Then Yahweh chose the line of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, out of whom developed 12 tribes of Israel. Then Yahweh singled out the tribe of Judah for messiahship and eliminated 11/12 of the Israelite tribes. All the family lines within the Judah's tribes, the line of Jesse was the choice. One can see the probability building. Jesse had 8 children in 2 Samuel 7:12-16 and Jeremiah 23:5. Yahweh eliminated 7/8 of Jesse's family line. We read that Yahweh's man will not only be of the seed of a woman, the lineage of Shem, the race of Yahudim, or the Jews, and the line of Isaac, and the line of Jacob, of the tribe of Judah, but that he will also be of the house of David. See, this is how this thing comes down. It becomes very important as it funnels down to one point, to one man. A prophecy dating 10/12 before the Common Era also predicts that this man's hands and his feet will be pierced. He will be impaled. The description was written 800 years before his execution was put into effect, even before the Romans were putting into effect the crucifixions and impaling. 7:14 adds, he will be born of a virgin, an Alma, a natural birth of unnatural conception, a Christ beyond human planning, control. Several prophecies recorded in Isaiah and in the Psalms describe the social climate and response that Yahweh's man will encounter. His own people, the Jews, will reject him and the Gentiles will believe in him. There will be a forerunner for him, Isaiah 40, verse 3, and Malachi 3, 1. A voice in the wilderness, one preparing the way before the Master, before Yahshua, a John the Baptist. But you know what? That same forerunner is coming before Yahshua in his second coming. And that's us, brethren. We have to be the Eliyahu message. We have to be the forerunner that is calling upon Almighty Yahweh in these last days and teaching his name throughout the world that people can come together and say, blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh. The seed of the woman. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve him and look to the coming of Yahshua the Messiah, the seed of the woman, our Savior. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Davis to come forth and close with a word of prayer.
Almighty Yahweh, as we come humbly but boldly before your throne, we see ourselves sanctified in our word, for thy word is true. We ask Almighty Yahweh that you would not only hear this prayer, but move upon it and quicken us so we won't be beguiled. We ask that you would teach us to let our nays be nays and our yes be yes. We ask Almighty Yahweh that you would continue to allow us to run toward you and not away from you when we are in trouble. We ask that you would deliver us from ourselves so we can take refuge in you. Continue, mighty Yahweh, to allow we, your children, to be strengthened so we don't transgress your law, and give us that love so that we can express it to our brothers, and strengthen us so we're able to lay down our lives for our brothers. We ask, mighty Yahweh, that you receive the words that was taught this day within us, and always in all things. We ask these and all of our blessings in your son Yahshua's name. Hallelujah.
My closing song, you take your songbooks in hand. We're going to be singing number 15.